If you've been listening to our program, you know that we've been dealing with objects now for quite a number of months. And this morning we're going to deal with four objects, all of which are associated with the crucifixion of Jesus: the whip, the nails, the rod, and the thorns. I do not know how long you have been living in the Houston area. I grew up in the Houston area, and as a boy, I vaguely remember that there was a private airplane that crashed over on, I believe it was North McGregor or South McGregor in Houston. And I recall that the people from the city went out to the crash site to look over the damage, of course. And the thing that I remember most is that the people were out scavenging around the wreck site looking for little scraps of metal from the airplane. And I wondered as a kid then, well, why would anybody want to keep a little piece of wrecked airplane? I still don't quite understand that one. I recall also a painting that I saw not too long ago picturing a World War II air scene. In the picture, you had a flying tiger, and it was attacking a Japanese bomber. And the story that went along with the picture was that supposedly the man flying the P-40 airplane, was radioed and told that on this Japanese bomber was a very high-ranking, important Japanese officer, and that if he could find the plane, it would be wise to try to shoot it down. The man flying the Flying Tiger did not have very much gasoline, but he did spot the airplane. He did dive upon it, and it had two escort fighters. One he shot down, the other fled. He did manage to shoot down the bomber. But the thing about the story that really caught my attention was that the flyer that was flying the Flying Tiger landed his airplane, ran to the wreckage site, and the reason he was doing this, he wanted to try to find the sword that would normally be carried by high-ranking Japanese officers. But, of course, in all the wreckage, he could not find the sword, and he left disappointed. I want to ask you a question about this story. I wonder if that Japanese officer had have used that sword to have killed his brother, had his brother been in the military and he knew all this information. Now, I'm making this part of the story up. I wonder if he would have wanted the sword if he knew that was the situation and the story behind the sword, it was the one that was used to kill his brother. There seems to be an unending investigation into the assassination of President John Kennedy. Many are still not satisfied that we have ever gotten the truth. And I think, if my memory serves me right, and it usually does not, that the rifle that was used in that assassination was finally auctioned off. Now, I'm not sure about this, but I think it was. And I just want to throw in a little question to you. If that is the case, I wonder if the Kennedys bought the gun. You say, I doubt that very much, preacher. Well, would you have bought the gun had you been in that situation and it was auctioned off? Most respond, no, I would not want anything to do with that gun. The thing that brought, of course, suffering and death to the one I loved. I would not want that gun. And if that airplane that fell in Houston, and I don't remember if it did or not, crashed into that house and killed a member of the family, I wonder if a member of the family that survived would be out hunting a scrap of that airplane to keep as a memento of that tragic event. Now, you know, what if there was a sword and was used to kill someone that you loved in the military, would you want that sword? Now, you might feel differently if the item I'm talking about was in no way associated with the suffering or death or maimed of somebody that you love. And you say, this is sure a a morbid way to start a story. Let me even add one more illustration. Almost every month, with some exceptions, you read about some child who is playing with a handgun that he has either sneaked out of a drawer that has been hidden away by the parents, and then, unknown to the parents, the child kills himself. And I wonder if you would keep that gun. Would you like to have a souvenir of the death of your child around you? Would you frame it and put it on the wall? Would you put it back in its secret hiding place? Would you keep the gun that killed your child? And you see, these are sure weird stories, preacher, that you're bringing up at the beginning of this message. The point I'm trying to make so far is a person, I think, would have to be a little bit strange. I hate to use the word weird. A little bit strange to want to keep those kind of things around that have caused great suffering to someone they loved. I would think they would not want to look at it. They would not want to touch it. They surely could not enjoy it. To me, it would be a natural reaction for a person to be repulsed or grieved at the sight of something that was causing the sorrow and death of their loved one. Now we'll turn our attention to the Scriptures. First of all, the book of Mark, chapter 15. And Pilate, talking now to the accusers of Jesus who wanted him crucified, "What is it that you want me to do with Jesus Christ?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said, "What? I mean, what evil has he done worthy of crucifixion?" And their only reply was, "Crucify him." And so the soldiers led him away into the hall, and they called together some other soldiers to join them. And the soldiers clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head, began to salute him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They smote him on the head with a rod, spit on him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe from him and put back on his own clothes and led him out to crucify him. Now, in this brief portion of Scripture dealing with the trial and crucifixion of Jesus, we have mentioned two objects by name and two objects by implication. First of all, there is mentioned the rod that they used to beat him over the head. This would be a large club or stick. Then he has mentioned the crown of thorns. And then there is implied a whip for scourging. And of course, in the crucifixion, you have implied nails. Well, I read one more text, John chapter 19, verse 23 and 24. The soldiers, after they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, and they made four parts, giving each soldier one part. And there was also a coat, but it was without seam and therefore not easily divided, and it was woven from top to bottom. And the soldiers therefore reasoned among themselves, "Let's not divide this in four pieces, but let's cast lots or gamble for it. And whoever gets out, whatever the method was used, whoever wins gets to take the coat for himself." And they did so. Hollywood, you know, made a film about this aspect called The Road. Now, you know, I would not really call this a desirable list of souvenirs for the Christian. There were four. Would you like to have any of the four? Would you have liked to have the club that beat him over the head and beat his body? Would you have liked to have the thorns to place upon your fireplace mantle? Would you like to have had the whip, which scourged his back and ripped it open? Or would you like to have the nails as a memento or a souvenir from the crucifixion of Jesus? I don't think the disciples walked up and said to the Roman soldiers when the body was removed, "Oh, can we have the nails? We want to keep these so we can remember this event." I don't think they asked for the nails. I don't know what happened to them, but I don't think Mary walked up and said, "Oh, can I have the whip?" I think those that loved Jesus did not want any reminders of the things that were used to bring about his suffering and death. How could Jesus be loved by Peter and James and John and his mother and all the other disciples, and yet they would claim something that would be associated with his suffering and his death? I asked you a while ago, would you like to have these? Oh, they'd be worth a lot of money. Would you like to have them? Now, you say, "I don't want you to think about that. I wouldn't touch a nail. If somebody said, this nail was driven through the hand of Jesus, I wouldn't even touch it. I don't think I'd even want to look at the whip. I don't think I'd even want to be told this was the whip." Now, I would think that the four objects that we have listed this morning, the stick, which would be the rod, and the thorns, and the whip, and the nails, would be things that Christians normally would hate. Surely not things that we would want to collect. They ought to be things that we would not want to have anything to do with them. I've often read this text that I've read to you in the book of Mark chapter 15 and never really associated real closely my connection with these four things. Of course, I'm living today many years past the crucifixion of Jesus, and I've always thought, well, you know, the Romans, they're the one that put the nails in his hand. And, the soldiers also were the one that put the crown on his head, and the soldiers were the same ones who, of course, put the rod to his body and the whip. And so, I really sort of disassociated myself from any of those things. So I would not want them as souvenirs. Would not want them in my house. I would not want to look at them, but I never really thought much about my connection with these four objects. And then Isaiah 53:3, it said, "He was wounded for our transgressions." Now, I can take that word "our" and change it and make it more personal. He was wounded for my transgressions, and he was bruised for my iniquity. In other words, it was sin, really, that brought forth the suffering and death and agony of Jesus. So in a real sense, you might say, it was my sin that plaited the crown of thorns and jammed it upon his head. It was my sin that beat him up on the back with a rod in the head. It was my sin that ripped his back open with the lashes of a whip. It was my sin that drove the nails in his hands and his feet. It was really my sin. Now, I can go on and say, and your sin too, but to get the idea of what I'm talking about, make it more personal, it was my sin. He was dying for me, because of what I have done, because of my sin. He was suffering because of what I had done. And I really sense my sin did this to him. It's like I gave the orders, as Pilate did. I'm responsible for the death of Jesus. Just as I would be, in some degree, responsible for the gun that would kill my child. I bought it. I kept it. I had it around the house. I see, but in a sense, I'm responsible. In a sense, I'm responsible. Psalms 97:10. Now, notice what it says here, and you kind of get the idea of what Scripture's talking about. Ye that love the Lord, and I'm going to add a few words to this. It says, "You that love the Lord hate evil." I'm going to add something to this now. you that love the Lord ought to really just by a natural inclination have a hatred for sin. Just you know, it would be logical for me to hate that thing which I associate with the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. I think I would hate the gun that killed my child. I would hate the gun. And so undoubtedly, as God looks upon His people, His children, I think some of us look rather strange to Him. We got a sort of warped mentality. We're sort of, if I can use the word, we're kind of weird. Because we're clinging to the very thing that caused Jesus Christ to suffer and die upon the cross. I hang on to my anger, but anger is a nail. I hang on to my lust, but lust is a nail. I hang on to my jealousy, but jealousy is a nail. I hang on to my lying thoughts and lying tongue. And this is a nail. What am I doing keeping these things? I'm treasuring these things. I'm admiring these things. I'm playing with these things. Is there not something strange about this? You see, every temptation that the devil brings to us is a temptation to pick up one of these objects and play with it. Isn't that strange? I mean, we play with the very thing that crucified Jesus. Now, when temptation comes and we see the thing out there that crucified Christ, the sin that crucified Christ, when we see it in front of our eyes, instead of seeing something to be desired as a souvenir, I want that, I'm going to keep that, we ought to say, as we look at the temptation, I don't want that. Because all of a sudden, you ought to make that temptation take another shape. You remember when Moses cast down the rod and the rod took the shape of a snake? Okay? I think as we look at sin, as we look at those things that cost Christ His life and suffering and sorrow, our sin, as we see that sin, I think we ought to cause that sin to take on a different shape. Not see it as something perky, as something desirable, but we ought to turn it in our mind, that's a nail. Now, folks say, what do you mean that's a nail? Oh, I see that's a nail. You say, no, that's a good-looking woman. No, that's dishonest. No, that's a nail. That's what I see, a nail. I see a whip, you know. I see a whip. And folks around you, I don't see any whip, you know. I don't see any whip. That's revenge. Get it. No. That's a whip. That's the thing that crucified Jesus. That's the thing that I did in my life that He had to die for. That's what that is. Or that's a club. Turn that temptation that you're looking at, if it comes on television or if it walks in front of you down the street or it comes in a magazine, if it comes in somebody's conversation, you say to yourself, whoops, that's not what it sounds like. I think I see there a thorn. I see there a club. That's what I see. And I don't want that. I have no desire to collect thorns and collect, you know, nails and collect the whip. And I don't want to collect those things that crucified Jesus. You see, we ought to see sin as that which killed Christ. If you do that, it's normal. You ought to hate it. You really ought to hate it. You see, how can we cherish that which we know caused our Lord to suffer and eventually, of course, death? How can I collect souvenirs of the crucifixion? We ought to say, I don't want them. I withdraw from them. How could I ever love the gun that killed my child? How can I ever love the sin that killed my Savior? It's the same thing, people. It's the same thing. You wouldn't keep the steering wheel of the car that crushed the life out of your loved one. But then why will you keep the sin that crushed the life out of the one who died to become your Savior? What's the difference? Are we not a little weird if we kept the steering wheel and framed it? People would think you're crazy. Well, are we not just as crazy if we keep the sin that put him on the cross that caused his death? Are we not just as crazy? You wouldn't keep the knife that was used to murder your loved one? Then why would you keep the sin that was used to murder Jesus Christ up on the cross? What's the difference? What's the difference? I think we need to see sin as God sees sin. And when God looks at sin, He says, man, I hate it. Why? Look what it did to Jesus. Think about it, folks. Look what it did to Jesus. It ought to cause us grief. You know, instead of collecting mementos of the crucifixion, I mean, every time we see anything that looks like sin, it ought to cause us grief. I mean, you can't stop driving a car because somebody gets killed, but I mean, just looking at any steering wheel sometimes jogs the memory and makes you think of the unpleasant situation that took away the loved one. But to keep the very steering wheel, that's strange. It's not normal for us to do things like that. It's normal to hate that which caused the death of our loved one. And what's true in the natural realm of our life should also be true in the spiritual realm of our life. Sin ought to appear to us as it does to God. That would be something as hideous. But we paint it pretty. Could you ever paint the gun that killed your child pretty? Could you ever paint the sword that cut off your brother's head in the war pretty? Could you ever speak well of the steering wheel that killed your mate? You say, no, no, no. Quit talking like that, preacher. Well, then how on earth can you look upon sin with such favor and such appeal and go for it and buy it and keep it? Now, we even pay for some of these souvenirs of the crucifixion. We pay out money. We just aren't asking somebody to give us one. We pay out money for it. We buy them, store them, stack them, hide them, conceal them, trade them. This is ridiculous, folks. We're playing with the very things we ought to hate. We're dealing in things we ought to hate. Sin ought to be grotesque in our eyes. It ought to be repulsive, even to our thoughts. It ought to be that way. And that's why the Bible says, you that love the Lord, at least you ought to be hateful of sin. I mean, that's just natural. God's not asking anything that's impossible or ridiculous. It just seems the natural thing to do as you look at sin is to hate that which caused the one you love to suffer so greatly. And especially if it was you that was responsible. You see? It was you that was responsible. It's one thing for your child to be killed playing with your gun. It's another thing for your child to be killed if you're playing with the gun. Huh? It's one thing for you to look at a steering wheel that somebody else involved the crash, somebody else caused the crash. That's one thing. But if you are the one that drove into your own car, which you say is ridiculous, and somebody else was driving, but it can't happen. It does hardly. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of it, but it can. You could cause the wreck yourself. Bad enough if somebody else backs over your loved one, but it's worse if you back over them. And I'm the one that killed Jesus, not somebody else. I did. So I'm saying this message. You have reason, if you love the Lord, as you are a child and a mate and friends and brothers and sisters and mother and dad, you have a reason to hate sin. Why? Because it brought suffering to somebody that you ought to say, I love them. We should not make sin souvenirs. I don't think we ought to collect sins and display them on our walls of our life. And I don't understand how we can do this. And I don't want to be repetitive, but I'm just saying we ought to take a more serious look than we really do. And this sermon has really sobered me that I was taking too light an opinion of sin, and I didn't see it in the light of this is what nailed Jesus to the cross. And I'm hoping the Lord will help me as I see things that I know are sin, that they won't appear attractive, but they'll appear to me as a nail, or as a whip, or as, of course, a thorn, or a club. I hope that's how I see sin, as it comes before my sight. Maybe I won't. But I believe if it did, we would become a different kind of people. You think about it. Do you collect souvenirs of the cross? You should not even have a desire. And